really a teddy bear. When my late wife passed away here, it was a change in my life, but she was for that season of my life. But I want to say, her mother is still alive. She's 96 years old. And she said, whatever you do, tell them I pray for them every day. And she's doing good. Last year she fell and she broke her hip. The doctors, being so old, they said, you can't withstand an operation. So they didn't do anything. Said the doctors at St. Francis Hospital said, well, she'll be in a wheelchair. She'll never walk again. And there's nothing we can do. She'll probably live 6 to 9 months with probably get pneumonia when you're not working and you're just sitting in a bed and you can't walk, you can't get up, there's no exercise, so you get susceptible to pneumonia diseases, and they usually live 6 to 8, 9 months and then pass on. And the doctors had met with me and Tracy, and I said, I don't accept this. So I've traveled the world and seen miracles, so I pray for her. She gets up and starts walking. Instantly. So she greets you. And she covers your prayers. And I want you to know, there's not a day that doesn't go by that she's not praying for Pastor Walker and Haley. They're precious people. And the gift that God brought after I left, they were here ordained by God. I don't need to go in that, but I just want to say, you may be seated. And we want to say tonight, it's going to be an extension of where I feel like God leading me today. And I've been working out of Eagle Mountain International Church under Kenneth Copeland Ministries with Pastor George and Terry Copeland Pearson, Brother Copeland's daughter. And they've been pastoring there for a long time. And about a year ago, about October, November, they were in South Africa. And the Holy Spirit spoke and told Pastor George Pearson, I want my church back. He's talking about around the world, not just one community of believers. I want my church back. Because a lot of the church has relegated Jesus to the back room. They don't pray for the sick. They don't have anybody come forward. And without getting into that, he started contending, and God had been using me in the church when I'm in and out, and God had given me some prophetic words and different things to him personally as well as to the body there. And if you go online under EMIC, Eagle Mountain International Church, you even go back into January and start coming forward. Some of the different services you'll see where I'm ministering or praying for the sick there at the church, and we're seeing people with cancer heal. God was using me to pray for the sick in a Wednesday night service in February. And I had Izzy, a little girl, her mother and her sister that with her mother, that they were living in a house and the house sold and they had to leave immediately and had nowhere to go. Well, I was going to be over in Australia and Kuala Lumpur and Philippines for about 3 months. And so I told them, Tracy, I said, just let them come and stay here. I'll pay all the bills, food, lights, everything. Don't worry about it. Just let them come and stay. So Izzy, she's 6 years old. She was five then. When she'd get out of school, she'd go in there in the evening because her mama's not home. And she'd go into my bedroom, and I didn't know it, but she started sleeping on my bed. And from the moment she started sleeping on my bed, that anointing started coming on her. And Jesus appeared to her. 6 years old, 5 years old. And by the time I got back, she started prophesying. 6 years old. And I got back and her mother was telling me what God was doing for her. So back in February, I was there on that Wednesday night and had a man come up who had a broken neck for 3 months in a car accident. Had this big brace and everything around. He couldn't move his head, couldn't do anything. And I said, Izzy, I want you to help me pray for this person. Put your hands on my hands. She put her hands on my hands, and I said, now we're going to believe God to heal him. And you're going to put your hands on him. He's going to feel the power of God in him. God's going to make him well. Can you do that? She said, mm-hmm. She puts her hands on him. I said, no, just do a real simple prayer. Jesus, Jesus, heal this man's neck. Just very simple, less than 45 seconds, 20, 30 seconds, just a short prayer. The man took the brace off, completely healed. Pastor George was standing behind me. He was amazed because right before that, they'd brought a woman who's a member of our church there at Eagle Mountain. She had been in hospice. So it's a program when you're dying, you have only a week or two to live, or maybe 2 or 3 weeks or a month. They take you out of the regular hospital and put you with special care where nurses are there around the clock with you. This woman had terminal cancer. You remember Bright and us going up with Mark Dream when we went up to the hospital here at UTH a little over a year or so ago? And this woman was laying there and she had had cancer, and the cancer had eaten to her spinal cord, so she's paralyzed. Some of you remember that. Some of you may weren't here at that time. But this woman had a cancer back there. It hadn't eaten to her spinal cord yet, but the doctor said she only have maybe a week or so to live. They brought her in a wheelchair, had to check her out. The doctor said, "No, that's senseless. I don't know why you're trying to take her to some religious service where it's all just a bunch of hype. Now, you know you're not doing your mother any favor by taking her out of the hospital, because here we got medication, we got things for her." She said, "Well, we got a doctor there that you don't know much about." They bring her in. She can't even hold her head up. She's laying over in this wheelchair. So if you go online on Eagle Mountain, you can go back to that service and watch. We pray for that woman. About the second or third person I prayed for, she gets up out of the wheelchair, and in a few minutes she's pushing me around in a wheelchair. Then she pushed Pastor George around in a wheelchair. And they took her back to the hospital to let the doctors check her over. She'd been completely, verifiably everything. It is medically proven. And so I'm telling you to be here tonight. I'm not wasting time. Before I hadn't preached yet, I'm trying to just warm you up a little bit. Some of you don't know much about me, but I want to encourage you, if you do anything at all for this church, you start praying an hour to 1 to 2, 3 hours every day in your prayer life of just going and waiting on God. And just sitting there sometime, don't do all the talking. Let God talk to you. If you want to see this church double and move to 10,000 or whatever, spend more time in the Holy Ghost. I've been over in Italy. I prayed for a soccer player who was he was one of the up and coming young men of the nation. He had broken his foot in a car accident. They had over 20 something pins and screws, and his foot was turned outward. They said, "You'll never be the same again. Your soccer days are finished. Your walking days are finished, because you can't walk without crutches. You're crippled for the rest of your life." I was over there with Brother Black. He's Kenneth Copeland and different men, where he's a Spanish, he translates, one of the best Spanish translators in the world. He's the voice of Kenneth Copeland in the Spanish nations on their television programs. He was there with me and Jaime and Hernandez. We were over there in an Italian church and prayed for this boy. The Catholics had moved us out and had us removed from where we were, because the priest came out and said, "We don't want these people here." And so we had all afternoon, they were trying to find a place. So that night in the service, we only had 10 people, because we had to find a place to go. And what are you going to do with 10 people? This kid comes into the meeting. We pray for him, and God instantly takes the pins out. He's running and jumping like a rabbit. He's just hopping around. So when I go back about 6 months later to the church, he brings his other soccer friend who had been hurt. God heals him. Then we get one of the coaches filled with the Holy Ghost. So now we've got in Italy a bunch of spirit-filled believers. And God gave me a prophetic word for this young soccer player, how that he is going to be a Christian athlete for Jesus. And so now we got a coach and 2 young men. And I told him, I said, "You're going to be, you know, like Manchester soccer team and these big, over in Europe, they have these clubs." I said, after prayer, I told him before I prayed for him, I said, "God's going to heal you, and you're going to be put back in, and you're going to be a better soccer player than you were before." Now, what's the amazing thing about it, he's from Africa. He's part of one of you. And he's now playing for a professional team. They said he's better than he's ever been. And he's using his life for Jesus. How many's going to try to bring someone that needs a miracle tonight? I want you to be here. I'm going to try to spend about 30 minutes in the Word, and then I'm going to have about 10 minutes to pray for people. But I want you to understand, we can change the world by living in the supernatural. Turn to the person and say, you can change your world by living in the supernatural. In Mark 16:15, we're going to look at a scripture. In the Great Commission there in Mark 16, very familiar to us, but it's relevant. In verse 15, and Jesus said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned. These signs, say signs. What's a sign that points to something? If you go down the highway, you see a sign. It talks about Pomodzi Hotel, Mulungushi. It talks about you'll see a sign. Sometimes it could be a sign of a minister or Miracle Life Family Church, the best church in the city. Amen. That's a place for you to say amen. That's one of the best pastors in the city. God couldn't have chosen anyone better than Pastor Walker and Haley. And I thank God for them allowing me to come and just to keep coming and be connected with you people. But God's using them in a marvelous, marvelous way. But your greatest days are ahead of you, not behind you. Say, our greatest days are ahead of us. He said, go into all the world, preach the gospel. These signs shall follow them that believe in my name. They shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. Well, in Luke's gospel, he said, I give unto you all power and authority in heaven and in earth. You'll tread upon scorpions and serpents and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Demon power can't hurt you. We're not talking about literal snake handlers. We're talking here about the Word of God that evil spirits can't hurt you. Well, someone put a curse on me. No, they can't. They can't curse whom God's blessed. I said, they can't curse whom God's blessed. I was in Sweden. I was preaching there a few weeks ago. I went into a conference, and here's this guy from Morocco. He's a third generation of witchcraft, a warlock. And he charged people a lot of money to put curses on them, said, get sick and die. Destroy their businesses, everything. That's all he did, him and his son. He's got a son that's 28 years old. And he comes to me. And he needs to be set free. I didn't spend all day trying to cast these devils out of him. It took about 15 seconds. And these demons left him. And he was free. It was the first time in his entire life that he's been free from these spirits. Because he's third generation. And it's just born from his father, grandfather, just passed down. I don't care what the family curse is. I don't care what people are bound by. Whom the Son has set free, they're free indeed. And Jesus said, in my name you shall cast out devils. Well, I don't like to cast out devils. Well, you better learn. You're going to have to deal with them sooner or later, so you might as well just learn to hook up to it. So we're going to look at this. It said, you'll lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. I've taught here in Miracle Life, and I've talked to students. I said, Jesus, first person talking. Second person was the disciples listening to him. Third person said, them that believe, go into all the world and preach the gospel. And them that believe, they shall lay hands on the sick. The third person, first person, second person, third person. The believing ones, those that will believe the preaching of the apostles and those that went out in the early church. Them that believe, they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. That's a believer's anointing. That means anybody in here, once you become a believer, you're a believing one, not a doubting one. And you can lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. Hallelujah. The little girl I was talking to you about, Izzy, she comes out of children's church, and after being in some of the services and stuff, we'd laid hands on all the children back there in their department, and even up in front of the auditorium, and And there's a transfer of God's anointing and His Spirit. Sometimes you're waning. You say, man, I don't have much of God. Well, you need someone anointed to lay hands on you. Maybe God will let me do some of that while I'm here. Some of you need a refilling. You've leaked and it's leaked out. Some of you just never have been touched by the power of God. You need to get filled. You need to get something in you besides what's in you. You need to learn how to live and flow in the Holy Ghost. But I want to say, tell you, here in the early church, it said, they went forth and preached everywhere, and the Lord working with them, confirming the word with signs following. It wasn't just the 12 apostles. All the believers, the believing ones. They went forth and shared the word. So Izzy gets all excited about it. We have a Walmart, you know, like a game, and, you know, a big convenience store has all this stuff in it you can buy. And so she's there with her mama. She gets out of the car, and she's walking, you know, like, she's now about six. She's walking towards the door with her mama and her sister, Jasmine, and they're going there. And she sees this woman get out of a wheelchair, get out of the car, and they put her in her wheelchair. And she says, Mama, Mama, wait a minute. I got something to do. Like her mother said, now what have you got to do? She goes over there, this woman in a wheelchair, and she said, can I pray for you? This woman looked startled, like, looked around, saw this little girl. You know, like just being polite and nice to this little girl. She said, yeah, I'll let you pray for me. She reaches over and prays for her, and the power of God hits her. She gets up and starts walking in a parking lot. I'm just trying to tell you something. If a six-year-old child can get it, you can get it. I'm telling you, God wants to use you. We're not all used the same way. There's different varieties distinguishing each one of us from one another. We all don't have the same gifting. We're not supposed to. We're all not an eye or an ear or a hand. We're just part of the body. But when we begin to look at this, I'm trying to help you to realize, let's regain our cutting edge in Christianity. Let's get back in the cutting edge. We're on the forefront of making things happen. Not watching things happen. Not looking for something to happen. But making something happen. Flowing in the Holy Ghost. Moving in the power of God. I'm telling you, there's a world to evangelize. A few years ago, you heard when I first went to Kuala Lumpur with Rodney Howard Brown, and we were there and we checked in. Well, in Kuala Lumpur, it's a predominantly Muslim nation, and you can't say the name of Jesus out on the street without getting locked up in jail for 5 years. So Rodney had interviewed the press and the people there and whatever, and Oliver Tam that we was out there with, he was hosting the meeting, and we had to put a... They put down, Oliver Tam, they put down $125,000 American dollars just to rent the facility, and you have no guarantee because it's in a Muslim nation, and they had advertised, done everything, and you can't use that facility until the day before to get all about 10 rubber stamps on a deal. If you don't have them, you don't use it, and you don't get refunded. They keep your money. And a Christian group, no Christian has ever gone there to do that. But they felt led, this is our time, we're going to do it. Say, this is our time. This is our time. Did you know as the church goes, the nation goes? And if your country is having some economic bumps in the road, let's get this church for what we're here, miracle, life, family, church. Let's start producing miracles through the power of Jesus Christ, and let's change our nation. Let's bring the Quatcha back to what it should be, even stronger than it's ever been before. Let's change our nation. Pray for the leaders of our land. That's the message that God partly said to me on coming over here. And he encouraged me to tell the church that let's be the leaders in praying for this nation. Raise your hand right now. Heavenly Father, we pray for Zambia. We pray for a return for the power of God, for the economy, for our people in parliament, for our president, and all of the people. Father, we pray for a move of God to come and change our country. Lord, we're not going to go backwards. We're going to go forward. Our nation not going to lose. We're going to gain. In the name of Jesus, we pray right now. And everybody said, amen. How many believe what we prayed? If you're bold enough to do it, God's bold enough to back it. There's life and death in the power of the tongue. I remember when I was here starting this church, and even when I first came here under Kenneth Cohn back in the 80s, when I wasn't living here, I was just coming up here. Potholes everywhere. You couldn't even buy Coca-Cola. We've come a long way. But we're not going backwards. We're going forward. But we're going to do it through the power of God. It's a wake-up call. We're going to evangelize our nation. This call has never been dismissed. It's been ignored by a lot of people. Some people say, I'm waiting for Jesus to come. No, Jesus is waiting for you to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Because when we look over here in the scriptures, in Matthew 24:14, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness then to all nations, then the end shall come. The end's not going to come until we fulfill what he told us to do. Well, what did he tell us to do? He said, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. So when God took me out to Kuala Lumpur, here I was at the airport. The people hadn't arrived to pick me up. I've never been there before. So my host and the people that were bringing me out, they're not there. And I'm waiting there. And this policeman comes over to me, this Muslim policeman. Wants to know, what am I doing here? I said, we're having a meeting. He said, where? And I tell him, he said, woo, no one's ever had a gospel meeting in that place. I said, well, we have an assignment. And we're here. He said, well, what are you going to do? I said, well, I'm one of the speakers, but I'm not the main speaker. But I said, Dr. Rodney Howard Brown's the main speaker, but and I'll carry the services between him and me. He said, well, what are you going to do? And I said, well, mainly I pray for the sick. And I said, you've got a bad back. He said, how do you know? I said, well, you know, in the Quran, it talks about Jesus, the miracle worker, the healer. You believe Jesus heals? He said, I've read about it. I said, will you let me pray for you in Jesus' name? He said, will it do any good? And I said, let's see. I got pictures of it. Not on my phone. I've taken them off because your phone can only hold so much. But I want to say to you, I prayed for him. God healed him. And when you put your hands on a policeman, now I've got the attention of five other policemen. And so two other policemen come over. And now he's checking himself and moving. He says, I'm healed. I'm out of pain. I've never been like this before. And this other guy said, well, I've got a bad back. Would you pray for me? And my people hadn't even showed up yet. So I'm having a healing service at the airport. Isn't that amazing? You can have people healed and you don't have to be in a church service. Isn't that amazing? If you're just bold enough to do it. I wasn't healing them. Jesus is a healer. He's a miracle worker. He said, you lay hands on the sick, they'll recover. I'll do the healing. You just do what you do what man can do, and I'll do what God can do. So I'm just trying to tell you, there's places all over the world in every nation I go. People getting healed, people getting saved, people getting filled. So Dr. Rodney and us were there. We couldn't advertise in the paper about the meeting, about coming because without the problem, because it's Ramadan and all the problems and you can't witness about Jesus. So they interviewed Rodney and he told them about people laughing in the Holy Ghost and just all the stuff, you know. And so the people on the first morning came, and that morning service, he hadn't even got there yet. He just checked in the hotel and I'm carrying the first service. And all people started just falling out by the hundreds. Just laying out all across the front and drunk in the Holy Ghost and laughing. Well, there's no place to eat there at the place. There was nothing, any concession stands or anything. They had to go about 5 or 10 miles or so or kilometers to find a place to eat. And most of them were still drunk because they'd come back for the afternoon service where Rodney was going to minister, the next service. They go in there in the restaurants and start falling out in the Holy Ghost. And the people said, well, we read about that in the paper. These are Muslims and Hindus and Buddhists and different people. They said, let's go see what it's all about. They said, I'm watching it now. So we had several thousand filled with the Holy Ghost. We couldn't invite them, but we had to put a disclaimer in the paper. They put it in the paper and said, Muslims aren't welcome. I looked at it and said, of course they're welcome. They said, no, no, no. You have to say that because if they come to a meeting and they get saved or get Jesus, then they'll put you in jail. But if you tell them they're not welcome, then they can't do a thing with you. You're free. I said, oh, glory to God. So sometimes, you know, you just have to be, you're in another culture, another country. You don't understand everything, but it didn't matter if I understood it or not. It worked in the favor of Jesus in building his church. And God is good. And, you know, the church today, we need to go back and rediscover the truths about the power and the infilling and walking in the supernatural power as a believer every day, where we practice a presence where Jesus is with us all the time. I don't have to go to the church and have a prayer meeting all night long. I can feel him every day. I get up talking to him. I go to bed talking to him. Where I live in his presence. But a lot of our churches are like a wax museum between Dallas and Fort Worth, going down Highway 30 between the two cities. There's a, what we call a Ripley's Museum. It's where they got, you know, like Elvis Presley and Queen Elizabeth and, you know, Prince Charles. You know, different people. And they're made out of wax. If they don't keep the air conditioners on in the hot summer, they'll just melt. You'd go in there and say, Elvis is melting. They look real. But they're not real. I mean, you almost want to go up and touch them. If you sit there and look at them long enough, get up in their face. They got these glass eyes and everything. You know, you look at them, and you're waiting for their eyes to blink. They look very real, like you just reach out, and they'll talk back to you. But I want you to know these figures on display are representations of actual people all around the world. Athletes, you know, like Muhammad Ali, the boxer. And they got all kind of people in there. And if you gaze at them long enough, you're sure that you saw one of them move. But they're just wax figures. It's an illusion. And so we got a lot of churches today. They're like a wax museum. They're all stately. Nothing's going to move. Because the Bible said the dead praise not the Lord. So some churches don't have any praise. Some churches don't have, they don't worship God. And so anyway, when we look at this, they're an illusion. They have the appearance that they're alive, but they're not. They have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. And so, a wax museum doesn't impact the society. And churches without the power of God don't impact society. We need to put forth a maximum impact and effort in order to change our society. And it's not going to be by dead religion. The devil will give you religion, but he will not give you the power of the Holy Ghost. He'll give you religion, but he won't give you life. He'll bring you bondage and grief and death and sorrow. So we need a church. When he said to go into all the world and preach the gospel, make disciples of them, we need to get people discipled before we send them out. You send them to the nations once you get them discipled. Because you can't build a foundation out of a chicken coop mentality. You can go out in your backyard and behind your house and build a little place with a pen, put a little stake down, put some wire around it, put some chickens in there. But you're not going out there and building an Empire State Building. So when Miracle Life was founded, it took us a while to get the building, but we dug a deep foundation. So that regardless of what comes up on the top, we can build a 100-story building. Last year, when I went over to Italy, they were telling me about a church in Brazil that had grown to where they was finally getting to a place. They built a church that's going to hold 150,000 people under one roof. Now, they look at this church like a Sunday school class. It's time for Africa to grow. It's time we have a church in Zambia that pushes over 50,000. Am I in the wrong church? I didn't found this thing just to be a holy huddle. God sent me here with an evangelistic anointing to impartation that God was wanting to do something that had not been done. You've come a long way, baby. But the best is in front of us, not behind us. And under the leadership of the Holy Ghost and Pastor Walker and the staff and all these men, I'm telling you, this church is going to another level. God didn't send me out here, just the founder came back.
He sent me out here to bring you a message of impartation for God to change you. Amen. To have maximum impact. Many modern day churches are so frozen and so cold with traditions and routines, they're unmoved by a move of God. God can try to move on them and they're just frozen. You have to put them in a microwave to nuke them up in order to even thaw them out enough to where they'll raise their hand. Some of these churches are they're so drowsy, it'd make a Presbyterian sleepy. But I'm telling you, when Brother George came back, Pastor George came back from South Africa and God told him I wanted his church back, we've been having miracles in almost every service. Unusual miracles. People starting to come from all over the world. It's not unusual at all to have anywhere from 50 to 20 to 150 visitors on any service. People just coming in from everywhere, coming there specifically to be prayed for. So I want to say to you, I want God's power to get so strong here that people are going to start coming in from Malawi. They're going to start coming from Botswana. They're going to start coming here from South Africa. They're going to start coming here from the Congo. They're going to start coming here from Angola. They're going to start coming here from Kenya because this church is going to have something that a lot of churches don't have. That's going to be a consistency of walking in the Holy Ghost, flowing in the Holy Ghost, moving in the Holy Ghost. And we're not just having a Rhema Bible school just for a little dabble, do you? I want the Rhema students to go out here under the power and the anointing of the Holy Ghost. I need to start kind of putting it together now. But I'm trying to tell you, we want some manifestations of God. Say, we're believing for manifestations. For supernatural impact. For signs and wonders and miracles. To take place in our people. That we're no longer going to be performers. But we're going to be worshipers of God. Bringing in His presence. Where lives can be changed forever. In Jesus' mighty name. So I want to say to you, when the Holy Spirit becomes our priority, and we become a new vessel filled with new wine of the Holy Ghost, and we get a hunger, and we go back to Joel's place and get drunk, filled with the Spirit of God. On the day of Pentecost, it said, what is this? What meaneth this? They said, this is that. This is the beginning of that. Which was prophesied by the prophet Joel. And this church is part of that. Where people can come and get filled. If they drink long enough, they'll get drunk. With the wine of the Holy Spirit. And we need our churches and our people filled with a place to where something can happen to us. I just want to kind of close some of those notes off, and I want God to just say something to you here for a minute. Because it says in Acts 1 and 8, and you shall be witnesses unto me. After what? Tarry in Jerusalem till you be endued with power from on high. We're trying to go out without the power. We're trying to witness without the anointing and the supernatural of God backing us up. And he said that power, it means power in action, miraculous ability, supernatural energy, a supernatural force of God. To be what? Witnesses. Laying hands on the sick. The lame to walk. The blind to see. God wants to use me and he wants to use you. And some of us cannot cut it with where we are. We need to be filled with the Spirit. We need God to come and change us. We need an impartation. And I want to start by right now. How many here you could be visiting? And first of all, you've never even really known Jesus as your personal Savior. And you need Him to come into your life. You'd raise your hand and say, yes, that's me. Anyone on this section that has not accepted Christ. Or maybe you're backslid. You've got away from Him. You're just not living right.
There's one. How many others? One here. How many others? Any others in this section? What about this one here? Anyone here? Raise your hand. Put it up high. Let me see it. One, two. How many other? Anyone else? Three. Anyone else? Even in the little window back there and where all the women are hid. There's one lady back there. Raise your hand. God bless you. What about in his section? Raise your hand. Quickly, quickly. Let the Holy Spirit move on you. Be honest with me and be honest with God. Said, I need Jesus to come into my life. Raise your hand. Say, yes, that's me. There's another one here. Another one there. God bless you. Anyone else? What about this section? Raise your hand quickly. There's one over here. There's two over here. I want you to stand right where you are. Just stand where you are. Just stand up. You raise your hand. Stand where you are. How many others said, I've never received the Holy Spirit, or I'd like God to baptize me in the Spirit. I've never spoken another tongue. I want God to fill me with the Holy Spirit. If that's you, raise your hand and say, yes, that's me. Anybody, anybody. This is just the first step into a supernatural life of beyond salvation. It's to receive power. Anyone else? Anyone else? Raise your hand and say, yes, I need the Holy Spirit. Raise your hand. Stand up. Stand up. Just stand up with these. I want you to start making your way to the front. Just come on down here at the front. Just come on down here at the front. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you want the Holy Spirit, just come down. Just start coming. Start coming to the front. Start coming to the front. He says, I'm going to give you power to be witnesses. That means where you can produce fruit and proof and substantiate and verify the testimony that Jesus is alive. You'll do it by the power of the Holy Spirit. It's not an argument. When I was in Kuala Lumpur at David Wong's church, there was a man who was a Buddhist. He just got out of the hospital, and on his way home from the hospital, the doctor said he only had a few months to live. He is incurable. He sees where we're praying for the sick, and he comes to service, and by the time he gets there and walks in the back, the service is over. I'm praying for people around the front. So after everyone leaves, he had never been in any kind of Christian gathering. He had never seen a Bible. He didn't know anything about it. He didn't know who Jesus was. Didn't know anything. He comes up to the front because he sees me praying for people. And he said, the doctor said I'm dying. I'm young. I'm not even in my 50s. I'm in my 40s. My early 40s. He says, he's got five children and his wife. And he said, in 3 months' time, I won't be here. Is there any hope for me? I didn't preach him a sermon. I prayed for him. He left and went back to the hospital, and they found him totally cured that afternoon. They checked him over, run the test, and said, there's nothing wrong with you. What happened to you? How did you get rid of this disease? It's incurable. He told them. They didn't know what to say. He comes back to in another church where I was in the second church that David Wong has, where there's almost mostly young people. He brings his wife and whole family and sits on the back. And at the end of the service, they all come up to me, just like you're standing here. And they said, I want Jesus. Because we've seen what Jesus can do to our Father. He has healed our Father. They were all Buddhist. Not one of them they didn't know anything about Jesus. They'd never even seen a Bible. But they made the right decision based on the right choice because of what the power of God did for their daddy. They all received Jesus. And something wonderful is fixing to take place in your life. If you've never received him, that he that believeth, believing is within your heart. It's something you do. It's an action. It's a verb. You believe that he died on the cross for your sins. You believe that he rose again from the dead. You believe that he's the Son of God. So we're just going to pray together. Some of you are here for the Holy Spirit, for an impartation of God's Spirit. Others are here for salvation. And we're going to pray together right now. Just raise your hands with me. Say, Lord Jesus, I ask you to come into my life and forgive me. For I believe that you died on the cross for my sins. In Jesus' name, I ask you to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. And I believe that you rose from the dead and that you're the Son of God. And you said
if I'd pray and I'd believe, you would cleanse me. And I thank you, Lord, you're cleansing me right now. You're setting me free. And your blood is cleansing me from all sin. And in Jesus' name, I have received you as my Savior. And your Spirit is bearing witness with my spirit that I'm clean, that I'm saved, that I'm born again. In Jesus' name, amen. Now those that were praying for salvation, wave at me like this, said, yes, I feel clean inside. How many? You feel clean, those that come up here? You feel okay now? You're right with God? You and you? How many others? How about you? How about you? It's okay now? Hallelujah. For you that are here for spiritual, we're going to have the ushers because I've got 10 minutes to do this. I'd like for the altar group and the prayer team to come up with me, so because we only got 10 minutes to pray with you, and we're going to lay hands on you for God to do a work in your life. Now for you that are out here, if you need a miracle, God can heal you. We can't do it all because we got another service coming up, but you can come tonight. And the power of God is going to manifest in your life if you'll just come believing. If you know someone that can't get here, they're crippled, bring them. If you know someone's got AIDS, bring them. If you know someone that's blind, bring them. If you know someone that's deaf and dumb, bring them. We're going to believe God to do a work in people's lives if they'll just put faith in Him. And we're going to believe God for unusual miracles tonight. But for now, my prayer team and these, we're going to lay hands on them. I don't want to just do all the praying, but you're going to help me pray. You're going to ask them what they need. Most of them have come up here to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. And for God to do a work in their life. Good to see you, Regina. This your son? He come up to be prayed for? How old is he? Oh my. Isn't it wonderful that children can get blessed too? I was 9 when I got the Holy Spirit. Start coming over and start getting someone, 1 or 2 or 3 people around you and pray. Even some of you ushers, come up here and help me. We're just going to do something together. Even if you're on the board of the church, you're teaching as one of the teachers in the class. We want to know who you are. But if you're a teacher in the class or in the church, let God use you. Come up here and help us pray for these people. And we're going to pray a prayer up here. Now, as we get ready to pray, you can't talk 2 languages at the same time. You have to give up 1 language to talk another. We're going to ask God, it said, if you being earthly know to have good gifts unto you, how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall the Heavenly Father ask for those that ask Him for the Holy Spirit? If you'll ask Him, He'll give you a good gift, and that's the Holy Spirit. He won't give you a serpent. He won't give you a snake. He asked for bread. He's not going to give you a scorpion. He's not going to give you something false. He's going to give you the Holy Spirit. So pray with me. We're all going to pray a prayer. We're up here to receive the Holy Spirit, so we're going to ask Him for it. He said He would give it to those who ask. So we're going to ask. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, I ask You to fill me with the Holy Ghost and let me speak in tongues as the Spirit gives utterance. In the name of Jesus, I pray right now that the Holy Spirit would fill me and give me the utterance of a stammering lip and another tongue. In the name of Jesus, I ask You, Heavenly Father, let the Holy Spirit give me that utterance. In Thy name, I pray. Now, right now, we're going to quit talking English, and these men...